Good to see you here today. It's great to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, isn't it? What a wonderful thing. We probably ought to do it even more and be just about as concerned about it every Sunday as we are on this one, but it's a special time. But it's good to see you here. The sunrise service was wonderful, and the message was just tremendous. I'll tell you, it just makes you so thrilled that you're saved and we have a resurrected Savior. We're going to stick with the regular Sunday school lesson this morning as we continue talking about soul winning. And today, the title of the lesson is The Soul Winner's Prayer List. And if you got your materials, you'll see that you have a little sheet there. You may already have one, but you can use that one. If you don't have the outline, if you'd raise your hand, our men, I think, will be able to get one to you if you'll keep it up real high there. And here's one over here. We should have more men than that passing those out. I don't know why we don't, but anyway, if you don't, just keep your hand up until it gets tired, and they'll get to you, all right? Right up this way, Brother Larry, a couple up here. All right, Romans chapter 9, if you'll turn there while they're getting those out. Romans chapter 9, we're going to read 5 verses there, and then the first 4 verses in chapter 10 as we look at our lesson today. Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, the scripture says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory, and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promise, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Now go to chapter 10 and let's look at those first 4 verses. We'll come back to one or two of those later on. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel as that they might be saved, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You know, you can tell a lot about a person's life by their prayer life. Whatever you're praying about is what you're most interested in. And a lot of times we pray about health and we pray about finances and we pray about family. But part of our prayer life should be to pray about people we know that are unsaved. They need to come to the Lord, and prayer is important in having something to do with that. And so here are the things we hope we can accomplish here as we think about praying specifically and selflessly, not just praying for ourselves but for others. One of them is, and it's in your outline there, to discover couple of things. One, the opportunity and obligation of prayer in the life of the Christian witness. The obligation and the opportunity of prayer in the life of the soul winner or the Christian witness. And we need to recognize those things. And then secondly, to learn the secret of praying the scriptures, praying the Word of God. And that is important. You'll see what we mean by that when we get there. And then to begin to pray definitely, not only definitely, but consistently, those two things are important, for that which is on the heart of Christ. What's on the heart of Christ? Souls. Souls. We see that in his ministry. We know that from the Word of God. And so souls are on the heart of Christ. And prayer and soul winning go together. And you know the story of Peter and Cornelius. The Bible talks about that in Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius had a lot of knowledge and respected God, but he wasn't yet saved. And yet he was seeking. He was walking in the light that he had. And he was seeking the face of God. And while Peter, as God would work, the Spirit of God worked on Peter, and he had to learn some lessons, and God allowed some sheets to come down, and Peter said, I'm not going to eat that. And he said, you need to know that God's no respecter of persons, that he'll save all people from all nations, Gentile and Jew alike. And then he instructed Peter and then the house of Cornelius, and God put them together. And so Cornelius, by divine appointment, I believe, came to know the Lord. And so divine appointments and divine answers come from God. Divine appointments. We need to be praying, and then God is working on the other end, and God will work some divine appointments in our life, just like he did with Peter and Cornelius. So our prayers, I believe, can make a difference for other people. I believe prayer is valuable. I believe it counts. I believe somehow it enters into the conviction of the Spirit of God, the opening of the mind and heart of individuals when we pray for them. You remember Abraham prayed for Sodom, and God heard and answered his prayer, Genesis 18. Moses prayed with a broken heart for Israel to be spared. And in Exodus 32:32, you have that prayer, and then you have a hyphen and a semicolon that is there. Why in the world is that there? It was the only place in the Bible that exists like that. Most scholars believe that because his heart was so broken, he stopped right there and began to cry and weep for those that were his fellow kindred, those that were Jewish people. And so that would make sense that it would be there. In Romans 10:1, Paul prayed for the salvation of those that he loved very dearly, and that was his prayer. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is what? That they might be prosperous, that they might be rich and all have an easy road. No, that they might be saved. And so prayer makes a difference. We know that. And the greatest example we have of prayer is the prayer life of Jesus Christ. And so in John 17, he prays for the world, and he is one that we need to follow in our prayer lives, to pray for others just like the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for others. And one of the things that he did, and it was predicted that he would, that in Isaiah 53:12, that he made intercession for the transgressors, for those that are unsaved. And on the way to Calvary, he prayed. We know that the Bible records that. And he said, I want to pray for them, and they would believe that you have sent me. In other words, that they might be saved. When he was on the cross, he prayed, didn't he? Jesus prayed. And what a touching scene when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Most of us Baptists would have said, God, get even with them, kill them or something. But Jesus said, no, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So we ought to join the Lord in that kind of exercise and praying in our own lives. Now, the key verse, I think, is Romans 10:1, and that you have that in your outline there. Brethren, my heart's desire. Now, that's powerful. My heart's desire. What's your heart's desire today? My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, and how important that really is. Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 10 talk about the heart of the Apostle Paul, and you see it on display here, the heart. What's Paul thinking about? What's in his heart? Also, what's in the heart of God? And Paul said in Romans 9:3, for I could wish it myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen. He said, if it were possible, I'd like to die for them and go to hell so they could go to heaven. If that would work, I'm so burdened for them that I would be willing to do that. In Romans chapter 10, we have the Roman road. What does it begin with? In Romans chapter 10, it begins with a prayer. We're familiar with the Roman road, but don't forget that in verse 1, it begins with a prayer. It's a prayer. And then it gets into what we would call the Roman road. So when we pray, remember this, God really works. When we pray, God works. And He works in the hearts of those we're praying for. And so a believer's heart's desire is revealed, your heart's desire is revealed by your prayer to God. And what do your prayers today say about you? Do they say that you really care about the lost, that you're really consistently on purpose praying for unsaved people, and that you have a prayer list for those people? Now in your outline, number one, pray for the lost to be saved. Pray for the lost to be saved. In the Old Testament, the Lord actually appointed an entire tribe to pray night and day for Israel. And more than once in Scripture, the Lord expresses His amazement that was so much spiritual need, there was no one to intercede, no one that was serious to intercede for someone who had that spiritual need and prayed for others. We need to pray for other people. You need to pray for pastors and evangelists and those who are missionaries. We need to pray for them because God really hears our prayers when we pray for them. And when I was pastoring, let me tell you, one of the things that I hope people would do would be to pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, because I know that that's where the lifeline is and that's where the prayer is, and we need to pray for our pastor. Everybody needs to pray for those, and all of us need to pray because we all are supposed to be witnesses. We may not be a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, but God has called you to be a witness. And don't punch your wife or your husband or somebody around you. God has called you. God has called me. You and I are supposed to be witnesses. I'm supposed to be a witness for the glory of God, and so are you. And so we need to pray that way. All of us need to be praying. What do we pray for? Well, pray for the advancement of the gospel. How do churches move forward? I'm going to tell you how they move forward. It's the prayer life of God's people. It's not just the personality of leadership or the good leadership or the accoutrements or any of those things or the programs. I want to tell you, it has to be the prayers of the people. And so what we need is knee power. And when we have knee power, when we get on our knees, we have Holy Spirit power. And when we have Holy Spirit power, we have the power. And God blesses and God does that. And we ought to pray for open doors for the gospel. We need to have those open doors. Paul, when he's talking to young Timothy, talked about intercessory prayer and how vital it was to spread the message. And in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6, I want to take time to read these verses and listen to the wording of it. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. There's number one. Pray for all people, for kings, for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. I would encourage a hyper-Calvinist to memorize that verse. Who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. But at the very beginning, he said, I exhort you, Timothy, pray. And prayer is so vitally important. Prayer should be specifically directed toward helping bring all men to Christ. Pray for all men that they might be saved. Prayer should precede our preaching of the gospel. And I know that any preacher that is preaching the gospel, he's going to spend some time getting ready and not just studying, but praying for the power of God. Pray for the hearts to be open to the message of the gospel. I hope you've already prayed that today, that when Dr. Barber comes and preaches, that people's hearts would be open to the gospel, that they would be able to understand, and that the gospel would advance. And that's how it advances. It advances through prayer. Andrew Murray, a great man of God, wrote these words. The man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history. In other words, you just can't do it without prayer. It'll be the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history. So the gospel is advanced through prayer. And pray for the hearts to be open to the message of God. On one occasion in the Old Testament, the prophet Elisha prayed for his servant. Here's what he said: "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And God did take care of that. So what we need to do is pray for those in darkness. They are in darkness. They really are. And who makes that darkness? It's Satan. Satan is the enemy who makes that darkness and has blinded them, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan has blinded them. They're in darkness. And so we need to pray, give out the gospel light in the power of the Holy Spirit after we prayed, and hope that they would be saved. And a good prayer would be, "Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open her eyes, spiritual eyes. Let them see. Let them see the truth. Let them come to a realization of what it is." And then pray for the gospel to be given in power. We talk about the fact that in prayer we speak to God for men. So in witnessing, we speak to men for God. Both things are essential. Speak to God for men, speak to men for God. They dovetail. They work together. And we need to pray that God would till their hearts, get their hearts ready, so that it would be good ground. When the gospel seed goes out, it falls on good ground. Lord, till their hearts. Get their heart ready. Plow into their hearts to do that. So we need to pray before you go to speak to somebody, a lost person. It's always good to pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit would get them ready and till that ground. And then pray as you speak. You can do that and be praying in your heart at the same time. You can have a prayerful attitude. Lord, as I'm speaking to them, I want you to help them to understand. And God's word, pray that God's word would not return void as he promised. It is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, to the Gentile. So pray that God's power would bless his word, and pray after you speak to a lost person. Pray that Satan would not be able to pull the seed away from them, and that he would not be able to pull it out of their mind and their hearts at that time. I promise you, he will work. He'll work. You watch an invitation sometimes and see what happens during an invitation. If you were up here and you'd see it, sometimes I think some of those people pinch their babies just to make them cry so they can go out so they don't have to get under conviction or stay under conviction. But at any rate, a lot of things happen. So we need to pray for the gospel to be given in power. Number two in your outline, pray for laborers to be sent. Well, that's always good to do. Pray for laborers to be sent. Christ gave us that instruction in Matthew 9:28. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And by the way, that doesn't mean, we always think that means just pray for the missionaries. No, it means more than that, far more than that. Pray for the Lord to send more laborers. Where are laborers needed? Everywhere. They're needed here at this church. They're needed in Africa. They're needed in the Philippines. They're needed in India. They're needed all around the world, but they are also needed right here in this church. Pray that God would call our young people. Pray that God would get a hold of some of our young adults. Pray for the world. Pray for other folks. And pray that God would call some of the people that are members of this church to get involved. Not everybody's a member of this church is involved. I'm sure you knew that. But every member of this church should find a place to get involved. And we ought to pray for workers and get involved in the work of the Lord. So what do? Well, we pray and that we can labor together. And the Bible says, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, Romans 15:30. Pray that we can join together and more will come into the workforce of the local church. There's always a need for people who are saved and members of a local church to be able to get involved in their jobs to be done. I mean, there's no end to it. It's always available. So we need to pray the word and pray for the will of God. For instance, here's something we could pray, and pray according to the word, praying by the word. Ephesians 6:18-20. Praying also with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And notice what Paul says, and for me. Pray for me. Pray for all these saints. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So we need to pray for those who are preaching the gospel. Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Continue in prayer. Over and over and over and over and over and over again, it's reiterated that we pray. Continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Give me opportunities to preach, to speak the mystery of Christ, that is the gospel of salvation, for which I am also even in prison, in bonds. Pray that God will open the door for me while I'm here. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord, the power, the gospel, the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So over and over and over, he gives us scriptures to guide us and to govern us in praying for people who are involved in preaching the gospel. And God answers prayer. And God answers prayer in places you don't even know about. You pray that missionaries would have people saved, and you don't know exactly what's happening. One of these days you will find out. It may not be until you get to heaven. And it's going to be a lot of surprises for us to know that our prayers were answered in heaven. And what a wonderful time that'll be to realize that. And I can tell you that prayer time is never wasted time. Never wasted time. Now, if you have unconfessed sin, it might be. But if you're praying, one of the first things you want to be sure that your heart's right with God. But listen to 2 Corinthians 2:11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. He said, I can thank you for praying for me. Many people have been saved because you prayed. I get the impression prayer is important. I get the impression that prayer is important for the servants of God and those who are witnessing, those who are telling others about the good news of the death, burial, and praise God, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number three in your outline, pray for the Lord. And here's something that we really need. Pray that the Lord would use you, that the Lord would use you to witness to someone. Isaiah's prayer should be our prayer. What did he pray? Here am I, send me. By the way, he didn't go to a foreign country. He stayed in the area where he was, and that's where he served the Lord, and God used him to do that. It is hypocritical to pray and not be willing to obey. To pray and not obey. We ought to trust and obey. Pray and obey. Charles Spurgeon, this is a very strong statement, but Charles Spurgeon made this statement. Have you no desire for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that. It just makes sense that if you're saved, you're going to want other people to be saved. And if you're really saved, it is a mark of the believer that we want other people to get the good news, that we want other people to be saved. That makes sense, doesn't it? If we're saved, we should want other people to be saved. And so we need to pray. Now, Romans 10, again, he talks about brethren there. And I think he's telling us it's a family thing, that all of us together ought to work together, labor together as a family, the local church, and then the whole family of God to see that that happens. It's a family thing. All of us should pray. And the more that's in the family, the happier we're going to be. And then pray that you'll be a usable vessel. Pray that you'll be a usable vessel. Get rid of all known sin, as I mentioned earlier. Psalm 51, 10 through 13 reminds us of that. Psalm 51, 10 through 13. And then after you pray, yield yourself. Just consciously in your mind and heart, yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm depending on you. Here I am. And he will fill your lips and he'll fill your mind with what you need to say, and I promise you, he'll give you the boldness to say it at that time. He'll do that. And then ask for divine appointments. Ask for divine appointments. Ask God to put you with someone every day, give me an appointment. Help me to meet somebody. I witnessed to an 89-year-old man yesterday in a nursing home. And as I was visiting someone there in Cleburne, this man is blind. He came out and sat in a chair. He likes to talk to people in the hall. And I was waiting on the lady's husband to get there. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to use this time. I don't believe that's an accident. And I talked to this 89-year-old man. And we had a wonderful conversation. He believes he's saved. I shared the gospel with him, made it clear. And I was glad to be able to have that opportunity. But I was looking for one. And there he was, 89 years of age. And he had already made the statement in conversation. He said, you know, I'm going to go pretty soon. He said, I'm not going to live much longer. I know that. So that's where I started out with him pretty quickly after I got into the conversation. But be alert for divine appointments. And then pray and know that it's connected to souls getting saved. John Bunyan said this, and you'll have to listen closely to this one. You can do more than pray after you have prayed. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed, until you have prayed. So what he's simply saying is we've got to pray. We need to pray. And God answers those prayers. George Mueller had some friends that he was praying for. He was a great man of God, but he had five of his closest friends he was praying for. And after 18 months, one of them got saved. And then it wasn't long after 5 years, another one got saved. And then it wasn't long after 6 years, the third one got saved, and then he died. Did God answer his prayer? Well, after he died and they had his funeral and everything, the other two of his friends got saved. And I have an idea. He got notification of that up in heaven somehow, some way. You never know, you see. God is going to do that. And we may not see all of our prayers immediately. My daddy prayed for his brother. And I remember he was my uncle I was afraid of, Uncle Roy. He prayed for him for many, many years, 60 or 70 years, and then Uncle Roy finally got saved. And man, he got a good dose of it. He was in his early 80s. He got saved. And some of you remember Dr. Jack Powers. Anybody in here remember me? Some of you, I know. He got saved at his church, and man, did his life change. And my daddy was thrilled about it. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. This is a challenge as we close out. You have a prayer sheet there. You should have. So create a prayer list of those that you know need to be saved and begin to pray daily for their salvation. Secondly, you might get a prayer partner and ask somebody so there'll be accountability. You pray with your prayer partner for those, get them to pray with you. And then write a letter, make a phone call, or visit somebody that you want to win to Christ and tell them that you love them, let them know you're praying for them, and use the open door to give them the gospel. Remember that we must not only pray, it's not enough, we've got to obey. We need to put some feet to our prayer lives and do it. Now in your the place to list these people, Psalm 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and wept, goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. And in that you have three things. He that soweth, that's the toil. That's what we don't like. He that soweth in tears with a broken heart like Paul had, that's toil, that's tears, shall come again doubtless with precious seed. That's the triumph. If we pray with a broken heart, God will give us souls, and we'll have the privilege of walking some down the aisle or getting them under the sound of the gospel and follow the Lord in discipleship. Father, we thank you for the gospel. We know that Jesus came out of the grave, and we say hallelujah for that. Praise be to thee for giving him. And Lord, what a wonderful, marvelous truth it is. The only way to get to heaven, help us to share it. Help us to pray for others. Help us to witness to others. Help us to seize the opportunity to witness for you. In Christ's name, amen.